hey, this is Brian. I listen to it every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock, make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. You can heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. to 1.30 p.m. And you can find the archives on Podomatic. Podomatic.com has the largest archive, but if you search Henry Rain Show on the Internet, you'll find multiple podcast platforms of your choice that you can go back and listen to the archives on. We have in the studio, Augie is here today, Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1, co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com. And we're joined in the studio today by David Steen. He is the CEO and founder of People's Paradigm, LLC, and that also is here representing Internet of People. I also want to quickly remind you about the blockchain meetup, blockchain business and development meetup, Wednesday, April 18th at Connect Bradenton, downtown Bradenton, 12th Street West, State Road 64 East, on the first floor of the old Bank of America building in downtown Bradenton, according to the courthouse. We have Greg Karch, blockchain attorney, will be the featured speaker. We also have Alberto Harigi from RainCube and Jeremy Beal from Faircar, two young men involved in blockchain startups. The blockchain business and development meetup will be welcoming to people that are interested in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, but that's not the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency meetup, which is held the fourth Saturday at Connect Bradenton. This is aimed at for businessmen and women and entrepreneurs that want to find out more about blockchain. David is working to expand the use and acceptance of distributed ledger technology, peer-to-peer technologies, and other disruptive technological innovations. He currently leads the South USA chapter of Internet of People and serves as the director of business development for the region. Internet of People is a digital cooperative, which is similar to a decentralized autonomous organization, a DAO, as in collaboration with the libertarian movement. Well, we're going to have to find out all that directly from him. People's Paradigm LLC helps facilitate an easier, more efficient transition to a decentralized world. And then we're going to need help figuring out what all that means. So let me just start out by welcoming David Steen to Henry Rain Show. Hi, David. Glad you could come all the way down from north of the bay here to us.
Yeah, hey Henry. Thanks for inviting me over here.
Yeah, and you're based in what, St. Pete? Or?
Yeah, right in St. Pete.
Yeah.
And, I've heard a lot about this area being the new crypto capital of the world.
Yeah, we're the center of the universe here. Yeah. I'm at the center of the radio universe, center of the Seeking Cryptos universe, center of the Augie universe.
Yeah, right next to your navel. That's how centered it is.
Yeah. All right. So let's break this down. So let's start with People's Paradigm. You are helping the easier, more efficient transition to a decentralized world and economy. Tell us what's coming and how you're helping us get there.
Yeah, so People's Paradigm is more so an attachment to me from Internet of People. So right now it's just kind of my link to the real world, if you will, to Internet of People, and helps me do things like, you know, pay contractors, stuff like that. So right now it's not in the full effect as far as where I want it to be, where I'm going to be doing like consulting and stuff like that to individuals and enterprise to try to get them to adopt these new technologies and just facilitate that transition to what we call a decentralized world.
Right now, although you have big plans for it, it's more of a tool to help you with Internet of People.
Right, right.
Okay, so tell us about Internet of People then.
All right, so Internet of People, it's... In two words, it's the decentralized internet, but it's a lot more than that. You've probably heard other projects that are trying to do the same thing or have some sort of browser, but we're not just a browser. We're a whole network, peer-to-peer network, and infrastructure for applications, decentralized applications and payments, and also more than that, too, as a community and what will eventually be a DAO or a decentralized autonomous organization.
Okay. Well, I think this is a good time to play the introductory audio from the website, iop.global, And, there, of course, there's a video there. There's other videos that help explain things. But I think the audio from this at least will whet people's appetite about what you're going to tell them about in more detail in a second, because it really deals with something that's big in the news the last few weeks, the data breaches at Facebook and people's insecurity about how their data and privacy is being handled. Let's listen to the introductory video, at least the audio of it, from Internet of People.
What is the Internet of People, or IOP? Is it a cryptocurrency? Well, yes. But it's much more than that. The Internet is full of faceless middlemen. They are the online services that we use every day. Every time we book a taxi or rent a hostel, they take a cut. And what do you think actually happens to your personal data on services like Facebook or YouTube? They use your data to make even more money. In the Internet of the future, with IOP, you will be directly connected to the services you want to use and spend your money on. Unlike today, you are going to be in control of your personal data once and for all. Should you want to stop using a service, simply retract your data and prevent them from using it. And since our data has value, shouldn't we reap a part of the benefits? By sharing information about our lives, we are creating a wealth of information for research and development, which can benefit society. And in exchange for your participation in creating that wealth, you receive IOP tokens. The best thing about it? You decide, not middlemen. So let's say goodbye to lack of control of personal data, to paying middlemen rather than the people who provide us our services. Say hello to control of your data and making it work for you. Say hello to an Internet of People without the middlemen.
Well, David Steen, that sounds wonderful. Now tell us how it really is going to work.
Yeah, so it's based all on peer-to-peer networks, essentially. So people might have heard of, like, Tor or something like that. So peer-to-peer networks aren't anything new.
What are they?
But it's essentially so you're connecting to another person directly.
Like you're calling them on the phone?
It could be a phone call. Yeah, sure. It could
That would be an example of a peer-to-peer interaction?
Yeah, yeah. So anything where... So right now on the normal Internet, you're connected.
Or right now we're having a peer-to-peer interaction.
Sure, you could say, you know, in that sense, sure. But so on the Internet right now, you're connecting to, you know, an Internet service provider, which is basically just some centralized server somewhere that you're connecting to, and all your data is being hosted and stored on those servers or anywhere in between that you're connecting to. So in this environment, a peer-to-peer environment, your data is being sent directly to another, what we call nodes. So a node is anyone that's hosting or anyone that's on this network. So if you had a computer on this network, for example.
The IOP network.
On IOP, or any peer-to-peer network. I'm just using generalization right now. You would be connecting and using that computer to facilitate that communication and data and any, like, file transfers or whatever. So if I was to share a file with you, that file wouldn't first go through these centralized servers and then to that computer. It would go directly to that computer.
So it's almost like if I could physically hand you the file from my location to your location.
Right, right. So there's no, you know, it's just an intermediation. There's no in between that.
And now it would be I send you a file and it's going to a server somewhere and comes back to you through however the network is, however Verizon or Spectrum or whatever does it.
Right, and I mean that there's a lot of problems with that, including you know, the whole Facebook thing that just happened, where people's data are being sold or given out without their permission, and it's also for security.
Sorry to digress, but I wanted to get to what a peer-to-peer is for people that might not know.
Well, I have a question. Okay, so I don't get this, and maybe it's just my ignorance, and it probably is, and probably Augie's thinking the same thing here.
Exactly.
Is I remember the days of Napster and Tor, and they were kind of decentralized peer-to-peer, or I guess they were decentralized, but I was still doing it through the Internet. So my data was still going through Verizon and whoever it was to get to the other peer. I mean, are you going around that? I mean, that would be a truly decentralized, as if it was immediately to go around all the centralized computers of Verizon and that.
No intermediary.
Right. That's the end goal. So there's no way to do that right now because our telecommunication systems are all on the ground here. So you need some sort of satellite telecommunication system. But for now, we are going on top of that layer, and we're doing it in a way that allows full privacy and by going on top of that layer. It's encrypted, and it's none of your data is going to one point. So even though we're still using these like internet service providers and all these other internet protocols right now, it's still running on top of our protocols that are essentially...
Okay, so you've got a node, a computer, mm-hmm. and we're all in this peer-to-peer with you. Augie's got a computer, Andy's got a computer. We're all nodes in the computer. Am I still on the track here?
Yep.
Okay, but we need, say, Verizon... Or you could run it over a cellular network, too, right? Either through the cellular network or through a LAN, a hardwire network.
Yeah, I mean, any internet connection.
Okay, so any place we now think of getting our internet, you're going to work on top of them, correct? I know I'm saying a lot of things you just said, but that's how slow we are here.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, we're old men, and, you know, we don't understand a lot. I remember the old dial phones, so that's where I go back to.
Love listening in on the party lines. Had to pick it up real quietly so you could hear what the neighbor was saying. But anyway, sorry to digress even further.
That is so true, though. I mean, that is so true.
All right. So much like it is now with the NSA.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we all are on these nodes, and you're sitting on top of this other system. And how is it you separate our communications from that other system?
So our protocols run in a way that your data is never actually sent to any other server anywhere. It's being sent through what are called our profile servers and our location-based servers and everything like that, like just basically our protocols. And it's being used through that to be sent to another party. So, and I'm not a network expert. I can't go into the very fine details of how all this networking stuff works, but essentially, at the end of the day, your data is not being sent to...
So a collection point is different than the regular internet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you remember back in after the 9/11 attacks, they put all that cabling in. I mean, it was crazy, and I think it was enough to fill a high-rise in San Francisco.
Right.
And, you know, they watch every data byte that goes across the internet ends up going through there, I think. So, I'm a little leery on there. You're ever going to get a true privacy anything, you know. I mean, well, believe me, the NSA knows. I mean, they can capture anything. Look at you cannot spell Satoshi without CIA. I'm just letting you know.
Well, the FCC was created initially because they wanted to get away from what Henry referred to, people listening on people's phone calls directly. Now it's other people doing it indirectly, and you don't know what's happening.
So, well let's get David.
Watch Snowden.
His engineer has a way of keeping the data from being compromised.
Right, and this is only one small area that Internet of People actually is focused on. So that is just what the Internet of People itself does. But Internet of People is also a giant community, and going to be a DAO, and is connected to a lot of other types of projects.
Giant and
called,
how do you define giant?
As in, it's permissionless. Anyone in the world can join.
Well, giant means some size, some number.
Right. Well, I'm saying it could be. It's unlimited as far as
unlimited.
How many people can join this network. As much the population there is that have some sort of device, that's what the limit is.
Well, we may have found a use for Mars coin after all. We get the interstellar going out.
But the main thing that this is going to lead to is an entire decentralized society and economies, or societies in general. So you can create, on top of all of our infrastructure, your own, essentially, country. I mean, we don't like to refer to it as a country because we're trying to make localized communities. So
autonomous communities.
Autonomous communities, yeah.
And yeah, getting the lingo.
And you could create your own laws on these. You could create your own decentralized production. You could create, you know, you have decentralized trade that goes beyond the borders of your community as well. And there's just so much that you could do. You could literally be off the grid and not have to rely on any centralized entity like a government or big institutions like banking. I mean, we've seen from Bitcoin and Ethereum so far that, we don't need to rely on these financial institutions, but it goes much farther than that. We don't, you know, this technology, and it's not even just blockchain. It's peer-to-peer networks, peer-to-peer technology, and distributed ledger technology in general that allows us to have all these new innovations and just disrupting technology that's able to penetrate this.
I'm going
to
try something that I didn't plan right now, that I didn't plan in advance.
It's not a handstand, is it?
No. I'm on the IOP.global, and I think there is a short YouTube video here that explains what we were trying to find out about the decentralized Internet. The very first one here, is that a good explanation, David?
Is it the taxi one?
No, the decentralized Internet is video number one.
Yeah, it might be. I haven't watched that one.
Well, we'll see if it's going to play, because although we did have the recent upgrade here in the studio from the old Commodore 64 to this shiny Packard Bell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you've been gone. You missed that.
1997 model, too.
I think it's got 4 megabytes of storage in it.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm going to pull the floppy disk out to give it a little more room, maybe. I don't want to slow it down too much. But here we go. Let's try this and keep your fingers crossed. So far, so good. Oh, nice effect.
Great graphics there. Maybe we should explain what's going on.
Techy thing.
Yeah. That's my intro theme next week.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Whoa.
Welcome to our new video.
Attractive female.
Yeah,
always important on a blockchain video. All right, let's... Yes, Augie, you can come see.
Augie's coming to the other side.
Augie's
heard that.
All right, let me tear this giant screen back to everybody so they can see. And people out in the audience, just get real close to your speaker so you can see Sarah.
Video series, People Power. We are going to talk about the future of the Internet after the invention of peer-to-peer communication and the blockchain. But this isn't just about technology. This series is first and foremost about people, the Internet of people. The Internet we know today originated with ARPANET, which was developed for the U.S. Air Force in the 1970s. It grew into several networks of computers that became interconnected. The World Wide Web was created in 1990, and today we use web servers to send and receive data. And this is where the whole problem starts. Web servers store your private data centrally. While this may seem efficient, this central point can be hacked or spied on by governments, and your data can be sold to advertisers, whether you want it to be or not. The need for a self-organized, censorship-free Internet led to the invention of peer-to-peer networks, which connect people directly. This became popular with file-sharing platforms such as Kazaa, Gnutella, or BitTorrent. But peer-to-peer architecture isn't just good for sharing files. It's actually a model for a better Internet. One which allows people to communicate freely and directly with each other. Actually, whole economies can run on a decentralized network, but this also needs a decentralized monetary system, very different from what we have now, like euros or US dollars. This is where the blockchain and cryptocurrencies come into play. You may have heard of Bitcoin, Ethereum, Dash, and all the other widely successful crypto coins, which are skyrocketing in value. With crypto coins,
I think they're sending
banks,
encrypted messages to terrorist organizations on
while
that. I mean, I can't even. What is that on
monetary
there?
Monetary system. Peer-to-peer technology can also be used for decentralized communication.
There are subtitles in a language we can't read.
In Arabic, I think. I'm not a linguist, but I mean.
She's clearly German.
Is she German? Well, then it's definitely terrorism there going on.
It's a Turk.
Most of the team is in Europe, so.
That doesn't look French, though.
Disclaimer. Andy is making a joke for those of people that don't understand that. There is no terrorism involved in this radio show, or we are not sending messages out.
Well, I'm just thinking decentralized. You're seeing all this thing, and I'm seeing this. This
I don't want to hear a tweet about the bomb
Egypt,
strike
you know,
on 1498.
Like,
all right, let's get back to Sarah.
We no longer need middlemen like Google or Facebook. Today, we can build business and personal relationships decentrally. So you can connect directly to your customers or friends without going through any third parties. This makes your communication censorship resistant and private, and also cheaper because there are no middlemen taking a cut. If you run a business, you can...
Okay, I think she's going to cover a lot. But maybe I caught something, little gem of knowledge here. So when we send a file, like say we're using the old Napster or something, peer-to-peer, sending you an audio file.
Right.
Does that mean that the file can't be penetrated by the network we're sending it over, like with Verizon? They can't see what's in the file?
In a perfect world.
Okay.
Right. With those services. With those services.
Okay. All right. Well,
I remember the BitTorrent and the Napsters and that, and we were downloading music, and, I already paid my time for that. And let me tell you what, Verizon, and they knew who it was doing, and they actually, people were arrested for that. So it's not decentralized being peer-to-peer.
There isn't a perfect world, so what do you do about that, David?
So that's why we build Internet of People.
Yeah, okay. Now, question for you, because I see a lot of that, and it's like the power, was it a power coin? Was decentralized?
Well, actually, I'm seeing that you have an airdrop coming up in 4 hours.
Right, yeah. So that's it's actually going on right now. It's they're taking another snapshot in 4 hours.
How do we get in on that?
Hold IOP in a wallet. Hydra is essentially our peer-to-peer economy protocol. It's a multi-chain, side-chain protocol that will enable the peer-to-peer economy and people.
So what are you going to airdrop to us?
When am I going to?
No, what is Internet of People going to airdrop to? If we set up the wallet, what happens?
It takes snapshots, and then at the end of the airdrop, which I think is like the 21st they announced, then you get as much Hydra based on how many snapshots you were.
Oh, we already have to own some?
Yeah, you have to own some IOP.
All right, you got to know that road.
I mean, you can still
I actually owned some at one time, but... I sold before the
What's it trading for right now? I'm sorry to just go off on the screen.
I think it's like $2 now, but so it's like a $7 million market cap.
So it's a one-to-one airdrop?
No, it's if you hold for all of the snapshots, it's like 0.23 Hydra.
Okay. All right. Well, we really got in the weeds on that one. All right. So we'll put aside whether or not the NSA is checking out everything on Verizon and knows what's going on there. We're going to give you the fact that your technology experts are going to overcome that. So what's the next step after that?
Well, the next step is building all these other technologies that Libertaria is doing to create the entire decentralized stack of technologies is what we call it. So basically everything that you would need to have a decentralized society and economy.
So give us a couple examples.
So a reputation system.
What's that?
Basically a way to determine who should be trusted and with what like make sure that you have the skills or anything that you're saying.
Or credentialing?
Credentialing. But it goes further than like just a like an Uber type thing where it's 1 to 5 stars. It's not like that kind of reputation system. And we're going to have like protocols to allow you to do like laws or like voting and stuff like that. So, I'm sure you're familiar.
Allow you to do? What's that mean?
And so it's essentially like a sandbox. So it gives you the infrastructure to be able to create your own stuff on top of that. So, for example, like IOP, we're giving you the infrastructure to create applications on top of this. So you could create like an Uber application without that middleman of the Uber collecting that fee.
So is it similar to like Ethereum now as being a platform you build apps on?
In a way, yeah. I mean, Hydra and everything else will be like Ethereum where you can create your own blockchain or DAG or whatever type of ledger you want to build on top of that with whatever consensus protocol you want to put on that. And you can also create coins and whatnot like Ethereum. But unlike Ethereum, you can't build your own blockchains on Ethereum. You know, you have to use that central blockchain, and that provides a lot of scalability issues where that, you know, like CryptoKitties and stuff like that, where it's slowing down the Ethereum network.
Okay. And, Augie, do you want to go?
Well, I said community. You keep saying community, but it sounds pretty random.
How so?
Well, people just go cowboy on their own. You create your own group of apps. You go this direction. Where's the community in that?
Well, the IOP community is it's its own community. It's its own DAO, essentially. So this goes
digital autonomous organization.
Yeah. And so in the future, this will provide a value-based ecosystem where you're not discriminated based on, you know, your race, gender, whatever. It's
your abilities.
Yeah, your ability. So whatever you provide,
you get, the less ability you have, therefore the less you're part of that community. Right?
They will have a grumpy old men DAO, I'm sure. It'll be one of those hot apps out there.
It's going to be lonely there, Augie.
Yeah. Yeah, every.
I was worried about that.
But no, it's you're putting your trust in this protocol, so that the protocol is the one that at the end of the day says, okay, here's your value. Here's what you're getting paid for your value. It's not like some person who, some like corporate person who can say, you can be biased and say, oh, you're not as good as Jeff over here. Yep. Jeff's the all-star guy. He sucks up to me, it's whatever value you're providing.
So when you
go ahead.
So in terms of community, how inclusive of all the elements of a community are you into? I mean, that you have water, you have clean air, you have things like that.
Augie, let's say you're a drug dealer, and you want to have all your drug friends in this nice community, so that you can be anonymous and transfer money. And so then there's how you do it, and you do it, and nobody can know about it. That's how it works. Or if you unlike Facebook, where everybody knows about it, everybody knows you're dealing drugs.
So it's a hiding place.
I don't know where. Let me try my representation of where we've been in this. So Internet of People starts being a peer-to-peer system that will have privacy built into it, and hopefully then, even though you're using it on top of Verizon or some T-Mobile or whatever, or Spectrum cable, the peer-to-peer nodes are going to have privacy separate from the system.
Right, and then in the future... Have you ever heard of a mesh network?
Well, don't go there. Let me see if I actually absorbed anything here.
Remember, we're old dial phone this is
my self-pop quiz here. So we've got that. And then the next aspect of it is that it's also a platform for other people to build applications on.
Right.
So far, so good. And those applications, because it's not Ethereum or one of those, you're only limited by the scalability of the application you yourself build. Is that correct?
The application is built on top of the network, so the scalability and the throughput and everything is through the network.
Okay, so there is a scalability issue then.
So if you wanted to open your own Facebook on this network, you could come up with the app and you could start your own Facebook and you could, now, how do people sign up for that? Is it inclusive that anybody could see it and sign up and they're autonomous with like a Facebook app? Like I can go on there and search for Augie.
We'll take it one step back to the developer. Okay.
Right. So it's all about the developer at the end of the day. The developer can develop whatever he wants. He can make a Facebook app that's exclusive to one area if he wants to.
All right. So that would be one social group within the bigger Internet of People community, correct?
Right.
Okay. So the Internet of People, what is their next project that they're working on other than creating this platform? What are they specifically going to do next?
Well, Internet of People is just this. So, I mean, there's obviously lots of ways to improve this.
So they're going to create a digital autonomous organization where there's some voting and people can send, create some direction for the project. But is there another step beyond making sure that platform is available for people to build on?
Not really. I mean, as far as we know right now, but everything else, all the other technologies that this links with is libertarious. So that's why we call ourselves a digital cooperative, because we're cooperating with this.
Okay, so what is Libertaria?
Libertaria is essentially a movement for technologies that provide a freer, more decentralized, fair world.
And what else in Libertaria may we have heard of if we were a little bit better informed?
Well, IOP is the first actual project that Libertaria has fully come out with. Hydro is the next one.
Hydro? And hydro in terms of water?
No, that's just what it's like. The serpent.
Mm-hmm.
So
Hydra.
Hydra, like the.
Not Hydro.
Yeah, the multi-headed serpent.
Right. So Captain America defeated that.
So the idea is that if you cut one head off, there's a bunch of other heads that will just keep going back.
Yeah, that was in the movie.
That was Godzilla, but no, I think this is an interesting. This is an interesting.
It seems
project.
Like it depends on basically the community to make it work or not.
Now, what gives the coin value? Because that's always my question whenever investing into anything. What gives the coin value?
And is there more than one coin?
Right. So there's utility on IOP as far as when the node network is fully out and working, people will be able to host a node and be able to be paid for hosting that node. So, for example, if I was if I had my computer on this network and I wanted to host a distributed file sharing program on this network, so that means I could charge people for allowing them to use my hard drive space, essentially. And they would be getting paid through IOP token in this network.
And that's Hydra?
No, Hydra is the Hydra is just going to be what's called the parent chain. So it's just going to be, do you know what atomic swaps are? Have you guys heard of that? So it essentially allows you to communicate throughout the entire ecosystem that is connected to Hydra. Hydra is like the top of the pyramid, essentially, or the middle of the spider web type thing. And then you can branch out through there.
And then the coin is IOP?
IOP is IOP is its own entity separate from Hydra.
Okay. And what is that coin used for?
IOP or Hydra?
IOP.
That's what I just said, is that's what you get for hosting nodes and stuff like that, and for using the network. And also, like, for example, if some research firm wanted to...
I got it backwards. So what is Hydra used for?
Hydra is used to exchange value throughout all those side chains, throughout all the... So, like, IOP would be a side chain of Hydra.
So that's your currency, Hydra.
They're both currencies.
Your main
right.
But it sounds like your fiat currency is Hydra.
Right.
Okay.
It's more of, But
well, then, Augie.
I mean, I see it more of as this whole crypto space as more of, it doesn't really matter. Like, there's not going to be one that's going to be, like, a currency to rule them all.
To stabilize anything, to have community, there has to be stability. So if you don't want to call it a fiat currency because that's unpopular today to libertarians, now, you have your own version of what might be called that, correct?
Right, right. But I'm saying as far as you can trade anything, any asset, any cryptocurrency can be traded through, between each other. You don't need one to be able to...
No, but it's got a base value.
Yeah, it's got a base value. So Hydra would be what would be the value of everything based on, yeah.
So now we're down to a stable item. That's what I think we were going to.
I hope we have confused David by his association. Nice young kid here, too, and let me say it's a very interesting project. But I still don't – I guess I don't get what gives the coin value. I know you use it to do stuff. It's like a Subway coin. I always look at them like Subway tokens. If I want to use a Subway, I go in there and I use it. But the value is the dollar I paid to get the token. So what gives the token value for somebody that's investing into this?
I mean, it's all supply and demand. At the end of the day, you look at our vision and what we're doing, and if you think that will be valuable, then that it'll be valuable.
So, on the timeline of the implementation and acceptance of all this, have you just started on the road? Do you feel like you've turned the first corner, or where do you think the project is?
I think we're in a turning point right now where we're really starting to push out a lot of things. Hydra and all. I mean, this Mercury protocol.
What's the Mercury protocol?
It's essentially just all the peer-to-peer networks that are and protocols that are on IOP right now. I don't want to go too much into that, but
no, we got a minute and a half.
But this is a 4 to 7 year project. We're not trying to say some of these ICOs that are saying, oh, okay, we're going to start now, and then in like a year from now, we have on our roadmap that everything's going to be live, and then a year from that, we're going to revolutionize everything, and it's going to be better than
locally, in the Tampa Bay area, what's going on? I mean, besides you're making people aware of this, is most of this development going on in Europe or wherever?
Right. So that's another great aspect of this project is it's totally decentralized all over the world. We have what are called chapters, which are essentially just teams that are independent and can run anywhere in the world and kind of be responsible for what they do as far as development goes. So, but we all work together towards the same goal.
I mean, this video that I just saw showed a fairly attractive woman who's pretty articulate, and she spoke in Middle Deutsch accent, meaning she was middle class German, not High Deutsch, Hochdeutsch.
And
that's folks, when you know you've dated a lot of women in your life, where you can listen to it and go, oh yeah, she's from Middledutch. She's a mid, you know, she makes about $50,000 to $70,000 a year. And I mean, Augie, you are the man. I'm just going to let you know, you are the man.
That's all right. I've talked to people at all intellectual and economic ranges in Europe, and Germans especially, because they have that thing that people don't know about, and they have free education, which makes it even more a likely factor. And so if you've got that kind of individual being paid, and in Germany you don't get low wages, you get high wages. And if that's, and that being the case, they put together something for a wider range thing, that's a serious, when the Germans are involved, it's a serious effort. And but libertarianism, to me, is on the face of it, I was asking about community, because how much of a community is it? In other words, is it just economic, or is it more than that?
Oh, it's definitely more than that. It's, I mean, like I said, you could run, essentially, if you wanted to run Tampa Bay on this, on all of our technology, I'm not just talking about IOP, mm-hmm. You could do that. You could, you know, if you, but we're trying to
so
separate
could, so
this
you,
geolocation.
So, well, okay, say you could do it. Let's do Tampa Bay. You can operate the water systems.
Possibly.
No, possibly.
I mean, you know, it's more so as...
That's for our guests at the blockchain meetup in, on Wednesday.
There you go. Okay.
They're very impressive, as well as David's seen here. So you're the team lead for the South USA chapter. How big, I mean, geographically, how much area do you cover?
So as far as over by Texas and maybe like Virginia is mm-hmm. about as high up. And, yeah.
Generally in the South.
Yeah, just generally in the
and
South.
And where are some of the other most active people in the South? I mean, because we know with Block Spaces here in Tampa Bay, you know, they've been this catalyst for lots of people getting started
Austin,
with stuff.
Austin, Texas is big. We have a few blockchain developers there. And we have a USA North chapter and a USA West chapter as well. And then pretty much all the other chapters are separated by country. USA is just so big that we need three.
Okay. Well, David, thanks for making the drive all the way down here. The website is iop.global. There's more videos there. You can get lots more of Sarah that you should be curious about now. Have you ever met Sarah personally?
I have not, but I'm probably going to in Berlin in a couple months.
Oh.
The whole team's going to be there, so it's going to be great. We're going to have a public... event.
Well, you can find out for Augie if he was right, because
yeah,
he
you're
said
invited.
It with authority, like he knows.
I guarantee you.
All right. So make the statement right now at the end of the show about what your thoughts of, or Sarah, not your thoughts, that's the wrong word. What's your profile of Sarah as you hear her and look at her? What you think about her, and he'll find out and report back
she's
to us.
She's educated, and she's middle class. That's basically it. And that doesn't mean anything. She doesn't speak High Deutsch. That's important. And if you're going to get into the upper classes, you have to speak with High Deutsch. And when you speak English and you're German, you have an accent like hers, you're not going to go that far. You're limited.
So, if he comes back with his face slapped... When he tells her she can't speak High Deutsch.
She may be looking for Dave here and go, whack, tell Augie I said that.
No, what that means is it is truly an advantage to speak perfect English by Germans. And when the Battle of the Bulge, they used those Germans to break through and convince Americans they were speaking with an American accent. She's speaking with not even an English accent. And they speak either with an English accent or what is called an American accent. And those are the ones that go up in the institutions more rapidly.
So do you watch Bloomberg Asia?
No.
I was going to get an analysis.
I do on
those.
Sunday nights because, you know, that's the only one.
See, I would think that they speak English very well, almost like
Absolutely.
Natives. But I have a feeling that Augie would set us all right about that.
That's right. She's from Panama or...
My father was Middle Deutsch, and he was an educated guy, and he learned English here. He came here as an immigrant, and And when I went to Germany and met people within the church system, you met different ranges of education. And when you speak to someone who speaks perfect English back to you, and you can't tell their accent from yours or another American or English person, you know these people function. Well, they're always the ones that are the spies and all of that. They're the highest educated people, and they have the most opportunity. I met a family one time. They all spoke like they were right from England, and they were all High Deutsch German.
Everyone. All right. Well, that's where we're going to leave you. David Zane, thank you for coming down. We'll get more from you in the weeks and months to come. We're going to talk to you off air about the next blockchain meetup. And Andy, good to have you back. Augie, good always to have you here. Maybe Sabine and Lennart and Alex will appear next week. We'll find out as the time goes by, but we'll be back next week with another Henry Rain Show.
What you preach, and what you tell me about Jesus.